So after watching the movie Cinderella, a five-year-old girl called Sarah started pretending that she had a magic wand. And so she arrived in the kitchen where her mom was cooking and said to her that she would grant her three wishes. And so with the wand in hand, she stands before her mom, and her mom thinks about it and says, I think looking at the news, I would really want world peace. And so she dashes her wand and she says, granted, world peace. Simple as that. Second wish, Mom. Well, there's a lot of children that I know are really sick, and so I'd love there to be a cure for all children, child-related illnesses. The little girl says, no problem, dash of a wand, all children are healed. This is awesome. Mom looks down at her rather ample curves, and she looks at her little girl and says, I really wish that I was thin again. So which little Sarah begins to wave a wand madly in the air like this and says, oh, for this I'll need a lot more power. What would you ask for if you were granted three wishes? Seriously, no, jokes aside, what would you ask for? And I suspect, cliche aside, that many of us, if not all of us, would ask for peace. We would ask for peace in our world. We would ask for peace in our nation. We would ask for peace in our own homes and our own situations. The last month, pastorally, has just reminded me of the fact that we live in a world that is broken. And so over the last month, just ordinary people like you and me, whose lives are fractured, who are struggling in their marriages, whose families are split apart, and Christmas is a reminder of that. People who are just exhausted and suffering from burnout after a long year. People who have ended up in places of safety because they just can't cope anymore. That's the reality of the story. Christmas reminds many of us in this room of what is not right about our world and not right about our lives. And so when we speak about peace this morning, what are we saying? When the angels say, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that'll be for all people. And then the heavenly chorus later breaks out and says, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace amongst those for whom he is pleased, what on earth were they speaking about? Were they saying that simply with the arrival of Jesus in as this child or this baby, that everything would be like a magic wand, just fixed and made right? Well, of course, we know that's not true because none of us experience that kind of peace. So what did they mean? What were they speaking to? Well, yeah, in a sense, they were speaking about heaven one day. There's the reality that we all know about, that one day the world will come to an end, and there will be a new heaven, and it will be a place of incredible peace and joy. No sadness, no sickness, no tears. And of course, the angels were pointing to that peace. An American who you'd be familiar with, probably most of us anyway, Mark Twain, is a writer, poet, author, who wrote a column for an American newspaper at this time of year, and it said, it's my heartwarm and world-embracing Christmas hope and aspiration that all of us, the high, the low, the rich, the poor, the admired, the despised, the loved, the hated, the civilized, the savage, may eventually be gathered together in heaven of everlasting rest and peace and bliss. And that's true. But he didn't end there. He said, except the inventor of the telephone. So I thought that was rather interesting. The cell phone. So we do have a hope of heaven. We do have that hope. But of course, even a surface reading of the life story of Jesus will tell us that Jesus offered more than just heaven in the future. Even a surface reading of the Gospels will tell us that Jesus expects and hopes and believes that we can find some peace here on earth, that we can be healed and reconciled and find wholeness in our relationships with our family, with our friends, our neighbors, and of course with ourselves, and most important, with God. But we live in a broken world, as I said, and so that kind of peace is rare. So what kind of peace can we really hope for this side of heaven? Let me put it differently. What kind of peace can you hope for? This gets personal. This is not world peace anymore. What kind of peace can you hope for at this Christmas time? And I think the clue is found in the angel's words following, fear not. The shepherds were afraid. We're afraid. We're afraid. A number of conversations around the briar in the last few weeks have been around our country and where it's going. Is there a future for our children? What lies ahead for us? We're afraid. after the words, "Fear not," he said, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And so the good news of Christmas is that we have a Savior. I don't know if you even know it or not, but you and I need a Savior. We need a Savior. A little boy wrote a letter to Santa and said, "Dear Santa, there are three boys living at my house. Jeffrey is 2, David is 4, and Norman is 7. Jeffrey is good some of the time, David is good some of the time, and Norman is good all of the time. I am Norman." Well, of course, the news is that you and I are not Norman, because we are not good all of the time. None of us are good enough, or even will be ever good enough, to earn God's favor, because we serve a perfect and a holy God. There is no scale in heaven where our good versus bad deeds are weighed. Thank goodness, because then I would be falling short of that, and I suspect so would you. And so God gave us grace, which says that even though we can never measure up, He deals with our sins through a Savior, Jesus. And that's where our peace begins and ends, in a person and the work of Jesus. I did Cubs. Any Cubs here? Can I just see, just for interest, say Cubs? Hardly any Cubs. Parents, one, send your kids to Cubs. Girls and boys, really, really great place for them to learn some lessons about life. And I did a badge called a swimming badge when I was a Cub. And I remember learning that when you go and rescue someone who's drowning, if you go up to them too soon, they will be fighting to survive and they will drag you under and they will drown you. And so you're taught, it sounds weird, but you almost have to wait for them to give up. When they feel that they cannot anymore, that is the moment that you go in and you grab them around the neck, put them on their backs, and you take them to safety. They have to give up first. And that's the clue of the Savior Jesus, is you and I have to give up first, trying to do it ourselves, before He can truly save us. And so I don't know about you, but I often find myself in difficult situations, challenging times in my life. I try and save myself. Even though I've walked with Jesus for, I lost count now, 35, 36 years, I still find myself trying to save myself. And I've learned time and time again, it's at the moment of giving up and relinquishing myself to Jesus and His rescue that I am saved. John the Baptist's father sang a song of prophecy over John and Jesus, and it goes like this in Luke 1, 78 and 79. "Because of the tender mercy of your God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into a path of peace." That's incredible words. Let me read it again. "Because of the tender mercy of our God," tender mercy of our God in heaven, "by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven," talking about Jesus, "to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death," or fear, "to guide our feet into the path of peace." That's the peace we can hope for on Christmas. So I didn't like washing my car. It's one of my least favorite pastimes. So what I do is I go to our local garage, and they've got one of these things where you pull up, you pay your $30, and you edge forward, you know what I'm talking about, and there's this wheel that turns, this little pulley, and I nudge forward, and eventually I drop my car onto the pulley, and then it drags me through this car wash, and my car gets pummeled from all sides. It's like being in the middle of a storm, but you're quite calm about it, and you come out the other side, and you've got a clean car. You've done nothing, in a sense. You've just relinquished yourself to the process. Reminds me of my life sometimes. There's this wildness, the storm going on around me, but when I put my wheels onto that track, which is Jesus, my Savior, He takes me through it. Doesn't take me around it. Car doesn't suddenly duck around to the other side and come out clean. I've got to go through the process in order for the cleaning and the cleansing to happen, and I come out on the other side more whole and more complete. That's what Jesus does for us. He said it Himself in John 16:33. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble." Do you hear that? "In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world," says Jesus. And so the Prince of Peace acknowledges that all is not perfect yet, that this world is still hard and filled with turmoil, but take heart. In me is hope and peace and the ability to overcome. So I want to close with a story. This is a true story. An Allied soldier during the Second World War was concluding sentry duty on Christmas morning. With no church nearby, he and a group of fellow soldiers found their way to a grey building that said Queen Anne's Orphanage. They decided to knock and see what kind of celebration was taking place inside. In response to their knock, a matron came and explained that the children were war orphans whose parents had been killed in the bombings. The soldiers went inside just as the children were tumbling out of their beds. There was no Christmas tree in the corner. Children, no Christmas tree, no presents. The soldiers moved around the room, wishing the children a Merry Christmas and giving as gifts whatever they had in their pockets, a stick of chewing gum, a lifesaver, a few pence, a pencil, a knife, a good luck charm. The one particular soldier noticed a little boy standing alone in the corner. He looked a lot like his nephew back home, and so he approached him and said, "And you, little guy, what do you want for Christmas?" The lad replied, "Will you hold me?" The soldier, with tears brimming in his eyes, picked up the boy, took him in his arms, and held him close. You see, Jesus is the soldier, and we are the orphan on Christmas Day. He is called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And he stands before us, not with little bits and pieces in his pockets, but with the offer of peace, the offers to save us, the offer of his presence, and the offer of life in all its fullness when we open ourselves to him. As scripture says, wise men sought out Jesus. And so I would say to you in my closing words this morning, wise people this Christmas day will seek out Jesus. Amen.